The resurrection of Christ is a crucial point in human history. The whole Christian faith stands on the reality of the resurrection. It stands on the truth of the resurrection. One of the central teachings of the Christian faith is that the dead shall one day rise again. Hallelujah. The resurrection should be the very center of our faith, because the miracle of the resurrection is the miracles of all miracles. There was none greater, and there will be none greater. So today, my sermon will mainly be focused on 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ's resurrection proved his divinity. The central theme of Paul's teaching and preaching and the teaching of the other disciples was the resurrection, as we heard this morning from St. Peter, from the book of Acts and 1 Corinthians 15. They proclaimed that Christ's resurrection proved his divine identity. For example, in Romans chapter 1 verse 4, Paul wrote that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 13 says, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If physical resurrection is an impossibility, says Paul, then Jesus wasn't resurrected. And if Jesus wasn't resurrected or wasn't raised from the dead, then he wasn't what he claimed to be." Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus predicted about his death and resurrection. A few Sundays back, I guess it was on the third Sunday of Lent, we heard from John chapter 2. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then Jews said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Jesus predicted his death at least, and resurrection at least, three times in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the Gospel of John offers even more predictions. The enemies of Jesus were very much aware of his having made those predictions than the disciples. Have you ever noticed that? And following his crucifixion, they said to Pilate in Matthew chapter 27, "Sir, we remember that. That deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.'" It was in no uncertain terms that Jesus said that he would be raised from the dead. Therefore, his integrity, his reputation, his character, and his very claim to be God's Son was all dependent upon him being raised from the dead. If he had not been raised on the third day, he would automatically have been proven a fraud, or at best a sincere but deluded man. That being the case, it automatically follows then that our salvation depends upon the truth of the resurrection. It depends on the reality of the resurrection. St. Paul writes in our epistle reading this morning, in verses 1 to 4, he reminds the Corinthians of the gospel message, the good news, which they had believed and by which they were saved. And verses 3 and 4 make it clear that the resurrection was a vital part of that saving gospel. I want you to know how significant the resurrection is to me. I would never give another sermon. I would never preach because I would have nothing to say if there were no convincing signs that Jesus had risen from the dead. If Jesus had not been raised on the third day, you and I, who are believers, would be in a pathetic condition. Because we would be basing our lives here and hereafter on a myth, on a delusion. It follows then that unless a person believes in the resurrection of Jesus, she or he cannot be saved. Romans chapter 10 verse 9, St. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the gospel. That's the good news. This unmistakably clear meaning is this. In order to receive God's gift of salvation, we must not only believe that Jesus shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary, but also believe that he rose again and lives today. In other words, to be saved, we must believe all of the gospel. And the resurrection is a vital part of that gospel. Furthermore, if Jesus is not raised from the dead, then he has no power today. He's dead. His words might have some influence, but he himself has no power. This is why the resurrection is so central to Christians. Christianity is not a religion based on abstract principles. Christianity is a relationship with the living God, a Savior. We can know a Savior who infuses our lives and empowers us, who transforms us into His likeness. Once a man was asked, how could he prove that Jesus had risen from the dead? The man replied, I just spoke to him this morning. Experiential knowledge. Experiential knowledge. It is better felt than told. Do you realize that every Sunday is the celebration of the resurrection? Until Jesus rose from the dead, nobody ever thought of setting aside Sunday as a day of worship. Jews, as you know, worship on Saturday. And early disciples were all Jews. The religion of Islam, which followed Christianity, worships on a Friday. Can you ask them to change their worship day? The religion of the Romans used to worship twice every month. It's a revolution to have a weekly day of worship on a Sunday. It's a revolution. It's all because Jesus rose from the dead on this day. That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. It's about the victory that Jesus won by conquering the grave. In that same connection, there is also another vital reason that the resurrection is of supreme importance. The believer's victory in death depends on the truth of the resurrection. Further in that great chapter on resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 20, Paul says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. We learn from Leviticus chapter 23, verse 10, that in the Old Testament days, when a grain crop had ripened, the farmer would bring the very first sheaf of grain as an offering to the Lord. And that sheaf was called the first fruits. It was a symbol and proof of the harvest to come. In like manner, Christ's resurrection was not only the first and the last of its kind, but also God's assurance of many more to follow. In other words, God's assurance that Christ's followers would also be raised. Therefore, today, if you miss your loved ones who have gone to be with the Lord, I would like to encourage you. Don't be sad. Don't worry. Death holds no terror for a Christian. In verses 55 and 57 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" Jesus, by his shed blood and by his resurrection, has delivered us from sin's dominion and condemnation, so that in the ultimate sense, death for the Christian is victory. Although a believer is saddened at the thought of temporary separation from his loved ones, death has no sting for him. Because for him, death is but the dusky gateway into a place more wonderful than anything this earth can afford. No wonder the writer of Revelation chapter 14, verse 13 said, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. That leads to my next point. The truth of the resurrection motivates us to lead good lives. Our inspiration, motivation, and power for right living depends on the resurrection. In verses 32 and 33, Paul wrote, "What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Do not be deceived, he says. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Paul was saying that your beliefs determine how you live. He was saying that if Christ had not been risen from the dead, we would therefore have no hope of life after death, and thus would be tempted to do anything that would make us happy while we were still alive. Check it out, dear sisters and brothers in Christ. Look around. Sometimes we only need to look within. People who mistakenly think that this life is all there is aren't likely to be all that concerned about walking in the straight and narrow path. But on the other hand, the right convictions, the right beliefs about spiritual realities leads to right living. When a person has committed his life to the crucified, risen Christ, she or he not only has the motivation for clean, honorable living, but through the living Lord, she or he also has access to the power for right living. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul expressed the deepest longing of his heart when he said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Even though Paul had already been saved, Paul had already been delivered, he earned to know Christ even better. And he wanted to experience in his life even more of God's resurrection power. And that same power is also available to you and me once we repent of our sins and in faith yield our lives to Christ. Think of it. What about me? What difference does the resurrection, the truth of the resurrection make in my life? The same supernatural power that raised the dead body of Jesus from the grave is available to you and me to help us overcome temptation and to meet the challenges of everyday life. But it doesn't flow into our lives automatically. We can only experience it as we meet God's conditions. And what are those conditions? He requires that we discipline ourselves to read His Word and pray and affirm, and in some cases, reaffirm our commitment to His Lordship on a daily basis. In other words, we must do our part, and then we can be sure that God will do His part. His grace is available. We need to put our trust in Him. We need to put our faith. When grace and faith will combine, the life will be beautiful. Had Mary Magdalene not visited the tomb early in the morning, she would not have been the first to see the resurrection and experience those precious moments with the risen Lord. Her labor didn't go in vain. Her devotion to Jesus was honored. She was called by the risen Lord, Mary. Nobody desires to work in vain. However, the Bible assures us that our labor will not be in vain if it is in the Lord on this Easter morning. We rejoice that we worship a God who meets us when we seek Him wholeheartedly. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.